This coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Toldos. So, of course, at the beginning of Parshas Toldos, we're introduced to Rivka's infertility. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the tefillah of the tzaddikim, and so therefore he made the imahos akaros so they should daven. He made them barren so that they should daven to Hashem. Well, it works in this situation. Vata Rivka Ishto, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to Vayatar Yitzhak LaHashem LeNochach Ishto. And Hashem listened to him, and Rivka became pregnant. And Rashi explains that Hashem answered Yitzchak because he was a tzaddik ben tzaddik, as opposed to answering Rivka, she was a tzaddik as Bas Rasha. Now one would assume that he would be able to channel the schus of his parents into the situation to assist his tefillah. But Rav Chaim Kamil, who was one of the lions of the Mir Yeshiva, went, of course, to open his own yeshiva. He suggests that it's harder to be a tzaddik ben tzaddik than to be a tzaddik ben Rasha. You see, a tzaddik ben Rasha sees the ways of his parents, and he knows inherently, don't act that way. But a tzaddik ben tzaddik needs to overcome the desire to be lazy and merely rely on sechus avos. By Yitzchak using his own efforts, Hashem heard his tefillah, since it came from a place that overcame complacency, and he was able, therefore, to achieve. Well, after or before the episode of the birth of Yaakov and Esav, that's a debate among the Mefarshim, we're told by Hira Abaretz that there was a famine in the land in addition to the one Asher Ayabi Mei Avram, the one that existed in the time of Avram. Rav Shechter used to point out to us on so many occasions that Yitzchak was the forefather who followed his father fully, and so therefore he wanted to go to Mitzrayim just like his father did. But sometimes the circumstances are different for a son than for a father. And keeping the tradition sometimes doesn't mean blind following. And similarly, the Gemara notes that Yehoshua did the same thing by making a cherem on the spoils of Yericho. He thought he had done the same as Moshe Rabbeinu did. However, the Maharsha says that circumstances are different. After the Jews crossed the Yarden, the principle of Arvos applied, of the idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh, and so making a cherem on the spoils of Yericho, says the Maharsha, might not have been the greatest thing in the world. Rav Elazar Meir Taitz of Elizabeth often notes that we cannot always be in the shoes of our parents and our rabbis, but we can certainly walk in their footsteps, and that's something for us to consider. When Yitzchak continues with his life, he realizes Kol HaBeiros Asher Chafru Avdei Aviv B'Mei Avraham Aviv, all the wells that the servants of Abimelech had dug during Avram's lifetime, Sitmum Plishtim V'Yimalun Afar. Right, the Philistines had filled them in with dirt, right? And Ramosha Wolfson asks the question, why is it that the Torah includes the story of the wells? And he explains that there are many parts to the job of bringing a sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world. Those who say that there's no point merely throw dirt on the efforts to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash in this world and need to see the power of their own destructive nature. Just throwing dirt on other things is not useful. By the way, we know that they dug a bunch of pits. Yitzchak's servants dug pits and wells, and they started to have fights. And then they got to one by Achpor Be'er Acherias V'lower Avu Aleha. He dug another well, right, and they didn't fight about it. Now, why was it that the first two wells had arguments about them, and the third one had no arguments over its ownership? And so Rabbi Lamb quoted his uncle, who noted that in the first two cases, Yitzchak left the digging of the wells in the hands of other people. And as a result, the wells led to Esek and Sitna, hatred and arguments. However, once he did the job himself, the well that he dug led to Rehovot, to a willingness to work by himself to expand the world by committing his own energies and talents and concern and participation to the task. And the same is true for each and every one of us who commit ourselves to the mission in life that each of us is assigned to. If we commit ourselves to do what we're supposed to do, then there is no fighting over it. That's our responsibility, and that's what we're here and what we're supposed to do. We're told Vayikach that when Esav got to be 40 years old, Vayikach Eshas Yehudis Bas Beri Achiti Ves Basmas Bas Elon Achiti, Esav took on two wives. And here we see they're referred to as Yehudit and Basmas. Later they're referred to as Ada and Ahaliba. Right? And so how is it that their names changed so dramatically? So Chaim Kanievsky's Zatzal explained that Esav saw that they didn't provide a really good relationship for the in-laws. And so as a result, he thought that by changing their names, it would change their relationship with Yitzchak and Rivka. But of course, that's a change of a name doesn't really mean much, and that's certainly something that led to the end of the Pasuk, Vatiyena Moras Ruach, Yitzchak and Rivka, it became a bitter situation. So, of course, we get to the central theme of the parsha, and that is this issue with the brachos, and the back and the forth that went on with the brachos. And, of course, Yaakov Avinu is told by Yitzchak, Hakol Kol Yaakov, the voice is the voice of Yaakov. And the Ramban suggests that Yaakov even disguised his voice, but he couldn't speak the crude style of Esav, and why not? So Rapam explains in the name of Ramosha Sternbach that there were certain steps that Yaakov just would not take. To speak crudely like Esav was out of the question, and Yaakov would rather be found out than speak crude to his father crudely. And Rapam adds that we see how important the manner of speech is for each person, because that's defined, and that defines how we carry ourselves our entire lives. When it comes to, when Esav comes through, and Yitzchak figures out that the guy who came in and took the brachos was not Esav, Yitzchak was very terrified. What was Yitzchak's great fear? So Chaim Sabato, the great Rosh Hashiva, Malei Adumim, suggests that Yitzchak's desire was to connect both his children and to keep them close so that he could place them both under the wing of the Shekhinah. However, Hashem showed him that the son who was so callous that he sold the Bechorah for a mere bowl of lentils is the one who doesn't get the power of the brachos nor the responsibilities from the world to uphold their uniqueness. And thus, terrified that he was almost mistaken, he noted, Gam Baruch Tiyeh. You know, it's an amazing thing when you think the world is supposed to go in a certain way, and it doesn't. And other things come in and set a tone for the way that things are supposed to go. And still being able to realize, Gam Baruch Tiyeh, that Hashem, He moves the world in a certain way. And we realize that even in those situations, Gam Baruch Tiyeh. We're told in the Haftorah, Ben Yechabed Ad Ve'Eved Adonav, a son should honor his father, and a servant should honor his master. And of course, Hashem says, and if I'm an Adon, Aye Kvodi, Aye Moroi, right? Where is my awe? Now we open the section with Kavod, and we end with Mora, why the change? So Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky noted that when one has a yira from love, it's a yiras haromimus, and it's part of avon kavod. And so he cautions, we need to differentiate between kvod and kibud. The idea of kvod shamayim is that the source is that shamayim is the source for a relationship, and there's room for a yira over there. But kibud av is based on the positive actions that one does to demonstrate honor, as opposed to others that seem to demonstrate yira instead. We need to understand the difference between the two so that we're able to function. And with that, my dear friends, we realize that we're living in a world where there is a lot of charada. There's a lot of things in life that cause fear. But we also have to understand that within all the fear, Hashem li b'lo ira, wishing you all a Shabbat Shalom and a Shabbat Shalom to all.